Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to you in this lovely summer's morning. Welcome to those who are visitors to the church. It's good to see you. Welcome to those who are joining us online, either at this time or later in the day or the week. The grace and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us worship God. We sing to his praise and glory, hymn 153, hymn 153. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Be still and know that I am God. Let us pray. Lord God, you are indeed our refuge and our strength. We approach you this day in penitence and in faith. Before the sun rises, the birds have sung your praises. The hours that follow bear witness to your countless deeds of grace and mercy. As evening falls, the sun sets as a reminder that you continue to watch over us. With darkness comes the promise that you will be with us as we greet the new day. Lord God, for your abiding presence and your enduring faithfulness to us, we offer you praise and thanksgiving. Loving God, we confess we take your grace and mercy for granted. We are idle when we should be active. We listen to gossip more than we listen to the gospel. When called to serve, we have excuses rather than excitement. We hesitate rather than hasten to do what you ask of us. Father God, we thank you that you do not abandon us because of what we are. Rather, you have lit our path with the light of your word, and you encourage us to go forward with your dear presence to cheer and to guide. Forgive us our sins. Help us to amend our ways and make us grateful this day and every day that we are yours, the one who gives us strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. In Jesus' name we offer this, our morning prayer. And as he has taught us, so we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Tea, coffee and biscuits will be served in the sanctuary following the service, and you're all invited to wait for a further time of fellowship. And following the tea and the coffee, there'll be a time of prayer in the McMichael Chapel. All who would like to join us will be very welcome. Prayer requests can be attached to the prayer tree that's in the McMichael Chapel or placed in the box that's on the table in the McMichael Chapel. Russell Sugden is taking part in Cycle 300 Miles Challenge in July, and if you'd like to sponsor him, there's a sponsor sheet in the main vestibule, and Russell's sitting just over there. So if you'd like to support him for this worthy cause, please do so. Tickets for the barbecue to be held in the Manse Garden on Saturday the 19th of July will be available today and can be purchased from Frieda here in the church at the close of the service. I wonder if you've ever been asked to do something and you just thought, no, that is beyond me. Have you ever found yourselves in that situation? Yes? No? How did you feel? Rotten. That's a good answer. Because we don't like to say no. Isn't that right? Sometimes we can be asked to do something and we just think, that is not for me. And we might say something like, what? Me? or even, are you having a laugh? If that's how you felt, well, you're in good company, because when we look through the scriptures, there are numerous individuals whom God asked to do something, and they came up with one excuse after another. Let's think of some of them. There was Moses. And God spoke to Moses, and he says, I want you to go to Pharaoh and say to Pharaoh is to let the people of Israel go. And Moses just looked. Me? I wouldn't know what to say. I'm not eloquent as a speaker. I am slow in speech and tongue. One excuse after another. And then there was Jeremiah. And God said to Jeremiah, before you were born, I set you apart in your mother's womb to be a prophet. And Jeremiah says, I don't think so. I'm not a good speaker. And then he came out with a classic. At any rate, I'm far too young. Jeremiah didn't realize that in God's service, you're never too young and you're never too old. Jeremiah believed in God, but he didn't believe that God could use him in his service. And then there was Joshua. Joshua was asked to succeed Moses as leader of the people of Israel. Now, Moses had been an outstanding leader. He had his faults. There's no doubt about that. But when it came to leadership, he excelled, so much so that young Joshua thought, no way. I cannot possibly follow in his footsteps. That is just one task I cannot do. One excuse after another. And yet, what are we told in the Bible? Each one of them eventually gave in. They responded to God's call, his invitation to serve, and they succeeded in their task. What was it that changed their minds? It was a promise. The promise of God. I will be with you. I will be with you wherever you go. Whenever you feel weak, I will give you strength. Whenever you stumble and don't know what to say, I will give you the words to speak. I will be with you. My dear friends, God's promise still stands today. And so whenever we are asked to do something within the church or on behalf of the church in the community, let us remember that promise. Let us not doubt our ability Let us not say we don't have the necessary skill set. We have something far greater. The promise of God. I will be with you. Thanks be to God. Now, I chose the hymns last Thursday, but I've decided just this morning that instead of singing 564, we're going to sing hymn 251, because it ties in with the theme of responding to God's call to serve. And it's this great hymn, 251. 251. I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry.
Good morning, everyone. The first part of our reading today comes from Isaiah 41, verses 1 to 10, and can be found on page 602 of the Pew Bibles. Isaiah 41, verses 1 to 10, page 602. Listen in silence to me, all you coasts and islands. Let the peoples come to meet me. Let them draw near. Then let them speak up. Together we shall go to the place of judgment. Who has raised up from the east? One greeted by victory wherever he goes, making nations his subjects and overthrowing their kings. He scatters them with his sword like dust, and with his bow like chaff driven before the wind. He puts them to flight and passes on unscathed, swifter than any traveler on foot. Whose work is this? Who has brought it to pass? Who has summoned the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, was with the first of them, and I am with those who come after. Coasts and islands saw it and were afraid. The world trembled from end to end. But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, descendants of my friend Abraham, I have taken you from the ends of the earth and summoned you from its furthest corners. I have called you my servant, have chosen you and not rejected you. Have no fear, for I am with you. Be not afraid, for I am your God. I shall strengthen you and give you help and uphold you with my victorious right hand. The second part of a reading comes from Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20 on page 29. Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20 on page 29. The 11 disciples made their way to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to meet him. When they saw him, they knelt and worshipped, though some were doubtful. Jesus came near and said to them, "Full authority in heaven and on earth has been committed to me. Go, therefore, to all nations and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all that I have commanded to you. I will be with you always to the end of time." Amen.
Thank you, Gordon. Be still and know that I am God. We worship God in the hymn 755. 755.
Thank you.
In the course of our prayer, I will say, God, who is always with us, and I invite you to respond by saying, receive our prayers. God, who is always with us, receive our prayers. Let us pray. Our gracious God, help us to be still before you and to know that you are the one who saves and heals us, the one who watches over us, and the one in whom we can place our trust. God, who is always with us, God of the past, the present, and the future, we praise you for your unfailing goodness to us, for the gift of life itself, and for your mercies which are new every morning. God, who is always with us, Lord God, you are our Maker and our Redeemer, and you love us with a love that will never let us go. We pray for your world, for victims of violence or disaster, for refugees, for those in lands torn apart by war and conflict, for those in poverty or despair in our own community and the forgotten corners of the world. Give strength to all challenged by realities beyond their control. Direct the leaders of the nations that they may seek harmony. Guard those in our armed forces, at home and abroad. Grant that meeting danger with courage, they may serve the cause of justice and peace. God, who is always with us, God of life and love, we pray for all who are afraid of the future, for all who wrestle with challenges at work or at home. We remember before you those weighed down by illness or worry, those who provide care for those in need of support, and for the bereaved. God, who is always with us, our gracious God, we pray for your church in the world and in this place. Bless the preaching of your word and the mission of the church as it seeks to reach the lost and make disciples. And bless each one of us, that we may gladly use the gifts you have given to us in your service and bear faithful witness to you, the one who is our help and our strength. God, who is always with us, in Jesus' name, amen. We sing paraphrase 30, found as it is, at hymn 482. 482. Come, let us to the Lord our God with contrite hearts return.
Thank you.
I don't imagine many of us listening to the news these days will find much to encourage or cheer us. There seems to be no end to war and conflict, hunger and want. And this rightly causes us to be concerned. Concerned for the future. Concerned for the world today's children will live in. Concerned for humanity as a whole. Let me read again some words from Isaiah that we read earlier. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I shall strengthen you and give you help and uphold you with my victorious right hand. These words are words of reassurance, words surely to soothe our fears and give us hope. But are they really words that can make a difference at such a time as this? To put the words into context, Isaiah, the prophet, is looking ahead, and he's anticipating what is to come. Judah will be judged, and many of the people will be taken into captivity in a foreign country, Babylon. It was, as we can imagine, a frightening prospect. What would it be like? How would they cope? Would they ever be able to return home? The people must surely have been overwhelmed by the thought of what was about to unfold. And fear would have held them in its grip. Whilst we may never find ourselves in such a situation, there are times in our lives, aren't there, when we may feel something akin to what the people of Judah felt. You can feel that way if things are not going well for you or your family. You can feel that way if you have a rent or mortgage to pay and it looks like you're going to lose your job. You can feel that way if a relationship is crumbling and you just wonder how you will manage on your own. To be honest, it doesn't take much imagination for us to understand what the people of Judah were feeling as they anxiously looked about them. Hence, what God said through Isaiah must have been like an oasis of calm in the midst of the oncoming storm. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not anxiously look about you, for I am your God. I shall strengthen you and give you help, and I will uphold you with my victorious right hand. Aren't these words timely? Do not anxiously look about you. That is our natural inclination, isn't it? In uncertain times, we look about us, and one concern leads to another, and that concern leads to another, to the point we can be quite overwhelmed by events. But God says, do not be like that. Do not allow that to happen to you. Why? I am with you. I am with you. Most of us can probably remember when we were young, being afraid to walk down a dark alley alone. But if our mum or dad or a guardian was with us and held our hand, our fear left us. What made the difference? It was still the same dark alley. Nothing had changed. Except now we knew we weren't alone. Someone who loved us was with us. And that made all the difference. Do not fear, for I am with you. Four times in one verse, God says, I. And hold on to this. Today and this week, the remainder of this month and into the new month, and throughout the rest of the year and the years to follow. I am with you. I am your God. I am going to strengthen and help you. I will uphold you. God could not be more emphatic or more clear. Now, God is not for one moment telling us to forget about the world and its problems. Definitely not. As Christians, we have to pray for the world. And not for one moment is God belittling the struggles that we can all have from time to time. But he is saying something important. He is saying, I am your heavenly Father. I am your God. I am the one who is faithful. I will be with you. Therefore, don't be anxious. Don't be afraid. Here is an eternal truth, something for us to hold on to. Here is a word to comfort, strengthen, and reassure us as we live in such a world as ours has become. But my dear friends, can I suggest that there is also a word here for the church, and perhaps especially for the Church of Scotland at this time, a time when so much that we were familiar with is being questioned and concerns arise about the future shape of the Church. These concerns must be taken seriously. And as I've said before, the voices of the faithful must be heard and listened to by those who make decisions. But let's be honest. We do need to recognize that society has changed. The custom of going to church on a Sunday is no longer one that the vast majority of the people of Scotland adhere to. And increasingly questions are being asked by these same people about the relevance and the place of the church today. It's different now. I know many of you will be like me. You remember a Sunday. It was a special day, wasn't it? A day when we went to church. And then we went, in my case, to Granny's for lunch. And then a walk in the afternoon. And back to church at night. And many of you will have done that as well. It's so, so different. And I think we need to recognize that. Of course, the temptation in such circumstances is to adopt the bunker mentality, to become defensive, intolerant of criticism, even to put our head in the sand and deny the change that has taken place. As a church, we have to own up to our faults and failure to be the people that Christ calls us to be in every age. We have to acknowledge that we are but jars of clay, human and frail creatures of dust. And yet, as we remember in this Pentecost season, we are people in whom the Holy Spirit is pleased to dwell. And despite our frailty and weakness, we are called to be Christ's body in the world, not in the 18th century or even the 19th century or the 20th century. We are called to be Christ's body today. But let's not despair. In Jeremiah, the prophet who said, "I'm too young," we read, "I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Plans to give you hope and a future. If you hear people writing the church off, if you hear people say its days are numbered, you say, "Not at all. For God has a plan. The plan still holds." Why? God is still God. And nothing and no one will thwart his purpose for us. But perhaps, especially in such a time as this, we need to play our part. As the people of God, we need to be faithful in our attendance at worship. We need to give of our time, talents, and money in order that the work of the church can be done. We need to consider our gifts and, in thanksgiving to God, use these gifts for the building up of His kingdom. We need to have vision and not be afraid to take risks or do things differently. And most of all, we need to pray and pray and pray. Do all those things, but do not worry. Don't anxiously look about you. God is with you. He will hold your hand and mine and walk beside us. Isn't that the great promise that Jesus communicated to the disciples before he left them? They were anxious. They were afraid. They didn't like the thought that he wouldn't be there in a physical sense. And what did he say? There was a mountaintop and he was there. And he drew near to them. We're told that some doubted. He didn't go on to them for that. No. He drew near to them. And he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." What a statement. And it's true. "Go therefore to all nations and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And teach them to observe all that I have commanded you." And did he stop there? He didn't, did he? What did he say? "And I will be with you always to the end of the age." I remember when I was a student, there was a prison chaplain came to speak to us, and it was fascinating to hear about the work that the chaplain did in the prisons. And we need to remember prison chaplains more in our prayers and the prisoners. But there was one fellow student full of zeal, and he says, "Oh, I would love to be a prison chaplain." And the chaplain says, "Tell me why." He says, "Well, I would just love to take God into the prison." And the chaplain looked at him and said, "You're too late. He's already there." Sometimes we forget that, don't we? We're going somewhere that we've never been before, and we say, "Oh, what will it be like?" God is already there. "Do not look anxiously about you, for I am your God. I shall strengthen you, help you, uphold you with my victorious right hand." My friends, here are words to reassure us and give us hope in such a world as this has become. Here are words to reassure us and give us hope as a church, the people of God, in a time of challenge and change. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Let's take a moment to reflect in the quiet on God's presence with us, now and always. Thank you, God. Amen. Our closing hymn, 249, 249, we have heard a joyful sound, Jesus Saves. Go in the knowledge that God is with you, and the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you now and forevermore.